Support for this show comes from Sylvan Learning. When children love learning, they can tackle any challenge life throws at them. Sylvan's Insight Assessment can help you determine if your child is ready for what's ahead. It can also identify gaps in learning and point out areas that could be of concern for your child so they can tackle what's to come. And right now, it's the best price of the year at $29. Go to sylvan29.com to learn more and get your child's assessment for only $29. That's sylvan29.com.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to the post-NBA draft edition of the Talking About podcast. I'm Sean Kennedy. With me on the line is Dave Early of Liberty Ballers. Dave, how are you doing? How did you enjoy your 2022 NBA draft experience?
I thought it was pretty fun, and I'm excited about D'Anthony Melton.
Yeah, so we should say right off the top, the big move for the Sixers was trading the 23rd overall pick along with Danny Green, who will have his $10 million contract guaranteed, to Memphis for D'Anthony Melton, a 24-year-old guard. We're going to talk about him in depth in just a moment. But before we do that, I just wanted to get your overall impressions of the draft. Who did you think came away big winners last night? Anyone that really left you scratching your head as to, like, what's this team doing?
Well, I am getting inundated with text messages from my Knicks fans friends. They think it's like some sort of, you know, maybe a Ponzi scheme. a lot of reliving phrasing from the Hinkie days, except instead of the top 10 picks, a lot of them in 3 years, it's like we can't even figure these protections out, and we think we're targeting a non-star in Jalen Brunson. So I guess I feel bad for them, but as a Sixers fan, they're in the division. So any mayhem to the Knicks and Nets, which both are having some, is good for the Sixers, right?
Yeah, we can always enjoy some Knicks fan angst, I think, in the greater Delaware Valley. I agree that the New York move was really left me wondering what they're doing. They traded away the 11th pick, and they get off Kemba Walker's cap number by trading him away. There's already talk he's going to be bought out. So it looks like they're looking to sign Jalen Brunson to a big offer sheet, which could get matched by Dallas. So this might all be for naught. And even if it's not, is paying Jalen Brunson $100 million like the best move for your franchise? I don't know. But to give up the 11th pick for, and some second rounders for three protected firsts, where it's likely that none of them will be as good as an 11th pick in the draft. I don't know. Didn't quite see the sense in that. But yeah, more Knicks head scratching. That seems to be the recent trend with them, and they definitely continued that. Whereas on the flip side of that deal, Detroit. Had a very good draft. Detroit had Jaden Ivey fall to them at number 5, who seems like a perfect fit and was kind of like the consensus number 4 prospect in the draft, but wasn't a good fit with the Kings roster, so they passed on him. So Detroit got Ivey, and then Duran, who was another prospect that they liked a lot, they were able to get him with that 11th pick from New York. So Detroit basketball could be back.
Really fun night for Detroit. Yeah, I mean, a lot of teams wanted to try to trade up to get Jaden Ivey when they heard the Kings. It was funny to watch Jonathan Givony on ESPN say, like, the Kings are choosing the Volvo over the Ferrari, and I don't understand why. And
tough look for Keegan Murray.
Yeah, it was really tough for Keegan because nobody on television could talk about him without talking about how much less dynamic, explosive, and exciting he is than Ivy. So I felt a little bit bad for him. You know, he's not the turn eye-popping, but he is a good, well-rounded, so that was tough. I liked both of the guys the Spurs got. I looked at Sohan when I wasn't sure where he was going to go. Could he fall to 23? Then I realized eventually no chance, but had taken a look at him And then I like the other guy the Spurs got, who I did think about for the Sixers, was Blake Wesley. Not like the ideal fit, but two upside picks for them that maybe they could mold and work on those jumpers.
Yeah, the Spurs continuing their rebuild. A lot of exciting young prospects on that roster. We were talking about it this offline, but kind of a quiet night in the draft overall. Like, not a lot of big names got moved. We were joking that D'Anthony Melton was the biggest current NBA player, arguably, that got moved on draft night. So, yeah, not the big swinging star-driven trades, at least so far. That may come in the lead up to free agency, but on draft night, a little quieter. There were some trades that were interesting, but yeah, for the most part, teams just kind of stayed in their slot and took who they liked. So let's dive into Melton now. So the Sixers, a lot of lead up before the draft. Are they going to trade the 23rd pick? Are they going to trade Matisse Thybulle? Danny Green's $10 million contract, which they had yet to be guaranteed, was a big trade chip as far as salary matching. But D'Anthony Melton, this was something that came out of left field entirely. I don't know. Had you seen any rumors, whiffs, smoke, hints about Sixers and Memphis at all in trade talks leading up to the draft, Dave? Because I had not.
I had heard Melton's name come up as a trade candidate, but never in conjunction with the Sixers. Some people, like I talked to Trill Bro Dude, I think Marty had mentioned Melton because Morey drafted him. So when some of this Philadelphia Rockets stuff started coming up, they were like, well, they can get him, they can get Gordon, they could get Tucker, and Melton would be the youngest of this group, so at least they wouldn't be so old. So I had talked about him a little bit recently, but no smoke, didn't hear any reports that they might be interested in him.
Yeah, so good job by the Sixers front office to, I guess, stem any leaks and keep that interest on the down low. I had heard that Memphis could be open to moving him, and just because they have such a deep roster right now, and they have Zaire Williams, who could kind of fit into that rotation spot as a perimeter type player. So maybe Melton, they could look at the cash out with just 2 years left on his deal, and maybe allocate the whatever extension money would be coming his way to other young players they have on the roster. Just kind of like an embarrassment of riches as far as the Memphis cap sheet and young prospect pipeline is concerned. So they had to kind of divert that in some way, which I think is where their decision to trade away Melton comes in. But he's a really helpful player. As you said, he's still young, just 24. He's been in the league for 4 years now. Was a second round draft pick by Daryl back in Houston, but he never played for the Rockets. He was traded a few months later to Phoenix. And then 1 year later was traded to Memphis, where he's played the last 3 years. His 3-point shot was kind of this question mark coming into the league, but the last 2 years he's been excellent in that area. 41% 2 years ago, 37% last year, pretty high volume. He's good on catch and shoot, around 40% on catch and shoot opportunities last year. So that all fits really well. He and Matisse Thybulle were both top three in the league in deflections. And Melton had over a steal a game last year in just 22 minutes. So his steal per 36 was one of the highest in the league. So really a active, athletic guy who can really play some hard-nosed defense and hit threes. Like, not a lot of holes in his game. He can kind of bring a little bit of everything to the table, and just has that juice that I think the roster was really short on last year. We always talked about like how slow and unathletic a lot of the roster seemed for the Sixers. There was Maxey, and on nights Matisse was getting extended time. He's wreaking havoc on the defensive end. But other than that, just a lot of like slow, methodical guys. Melton is the opposite of that. He can really like juice the transition game. Backcourt of him and Maxey when Harden's sitting on the bench, that's really a fast, athletic combo that I'm excited to watch. And he can shoot, so he can play off ball. He has a little bit of bounce to his game on the ball. Like, I don't know. I'm really excited about the prospect of Melton in Philadelphia. What are your impressions of his arrival, Dave?
Yeah, I think it's exciting. I know there's still time for this to go awry for us, but I'd like to give a quick shout out to our Paul Hudryk, who wrote a piece basically that the Sixers are not just going to give away some of these assets to free up cap space, which there were rumors that they might do something like that. So I was a little nervous on draft night, and it turned out they used this 23rd pick on Melton, and they found a way to get Danny Green's money involved too, which worked out for the Sixers to get a player who's a little bit more expensive, and worked out for Danny. Happy for him. So thanks for the memories over the last 2 years, Mr. Green.
It would have been a really tough break for Green if in his last game as a Sixer, has the ACL injury and suddenly his $10 million is not picked up. I think it's a good turn of events for, a good guy in Danny Green, and I'm happy it's worked out. And, from Memphis's standpoint, I think February was a little ambitious, but maybe he can come back in April and make like the Victor Oladipo type contribution where he's suddenly coming off the bench in the playoffs and helping them in some fashion. That would be a nice outcome, I think.
Yeah, I think, not exclusively the spoils of riches in terms of their young roster. I do think that there's probably some recency bias going on with Memphis. And, it should be noted that Melton did not have a wonderful playoffs, and that's probably played a factor in why the Sixers were able to acquire him. I took a look at his heat map and all the shots he took against the Golden State Warriors, and he certainly hit a cold patch. So there will be some streakiness with his jump shot, I think. We have gotten used to that with guys like Covington, maybe Danny Green himself. But if the guys can hit a certain percentage, basically Daryl Morey and Doc Rivers are going to be okay with the streaks, right? Even if the fans are not. But I was looking a little bit deeper. He was 68 of 161 for over 42% when given 6 feet or more of room on, so wide open threes. And my guess is Morey and his team looked at stuff like that and were like, we can get him double that. Like, we can get him 200 wide open threes, because James Harden and Joel Embiid, there's going to be more wide open looks than he is gotten used to. And so we're not too worried about the really tough threes he was taking against Golden State. Some of those were well contested and off the dribble. Sixers may not need him to do that all too much.
Yeah, he's going to get much more of those wide open looks you were mentioning off of Joel Embiid kickouts when he's getting double or triple teamed in the post, or James Harden driving and drawing the defender and kicking out to the perimeter. Those will definitely be there for Melton. So yeah, I think he's a very viable catch and shoot option off the ball. And I think that he'll see a lot more opportunities to excel in that area of his game in Philadelphia. And still, just 24, and he's improved his 3-point shooting a lot from where it was a couple of years ago. So it's not like you can definitely say he's the finished product. There's obviously room for continued upside with him, which I think compared to like going after Eric Gordon, who was 33 and on the downslope of his career arc, I think getting a young guy with potentially some runway to improve is a welcome alternative in my mind.
Keep pump pace of the dreams not dead for Dara. I don't know if that's anything to that.
Yeah, so we can talk about that next. So the two kind of big rumors that were going around were the PJ Tucker free agency signing for the Sixers, which the 3-year $30 million deal was one that Keith had brought up, and that would require the non-taxpayer mid-level exemption. So you could fit him in at around $10 million per year using that. And the other one was trading for Eric Gordon with Houston. And he was getting he's under contract for around $19.5 million next season and a little under 21 the following year. So the Sixers would have had to do some salary matching to pull that trade off. And that would have very likely required Danny Green's $10 million contract to pull that off this offseason. So it seems like both of those avenues are much less realistic as a result of this trade. You're not going to be able to get, unless you really make a big move, like get Tobias traded, or if James Harden doesn't opt in and he re-signs at a much lower number than his cap number would be for this upcoming season.
You think he might forget to opt in? he's got 4 days.
Yeah, I think the deadline is 5 p.m. on June 29th for Harden.
Let's hope he forgets.
Yeah, can anybody just like send him a bottle and like a voucher for a club and try to keep him occupied for a few days? Maybe that's the avenue the team tries to go. So that's something to keep an eye on. But I think all the reporting has been that Harden's going to opt in, and the team friendly version of things is that he'll extend for an additional 2 years at a more team friendly number. But I think we have to be prepared for him opting in, and the $47 million or whatever the figure is for the upcoming year, that being the number on the cap sheet. So if that does transpire and Tobias is not traded, then you really only have access to the taxpayer mid-level exception, which is between $6 to $7 million. So if you're PJ Tucker, you just opted out of getting over $7 million to remain with the Heat this season. It seems like he is getting offers in the $10 million range. Would he want to come here for, I don't know the exact figure, but $6.5 million, if you were willing to do 3 years at that number? Is that enticing to get maybe an extra year than other teams are willing to offer?
Probably not,
because you could be looking at like 2 years, $20 million versus 3 years, I guess it would be 3 years around $20 million. So the math just wouldn't add up. So it would seem like, barring something extreme, the PJ Tucker bringing the dog into the doghouse does not seem like it's going to be workable, whether or not, even though Joel Embiid has been pushing for it. So
on draft night, we did hear a couple reports that went in pursuit of Gordon, like the Portland Trailblazers were interested in Matisse Thybulle, but they didn't want to do a three-way deal, or at least that was the implication of Keith Pompey's report. If the Sixers still really did want to get a guy like Tucker, they could move off of Matisse and Korkmaz and then be pretty close to opening up that larger exception, and maybe they could still pursue it. That's when you start getting into those like moving guys for cap space to sign a guy. And then you start to ask yourself, is Tucker and two vet mins better than Matisse and Korkmaz and a $6 million MLE or questions like that? And it's closer than it might sound upon first glance. So,
yeah, I would say in a vacuum, you'd rather have Tucker than Thybulle in the short term. I mean, Tucker's shown he's capable of being a playoff rotation player, an impactful guy in the postseason, whereas Thybulle, that's right now, we would have to say he's not, given his struggles on the offensive end. Now, could that ever change in the future? Sure. But I think Tucker would be more of a sure thing in the short term. But as you said, there's opportunity cost, because you're trading away Thybulle and the opportunity cost of bringing in a guy with a taxpayer mid-level exception. So who could you get with that $6.5 million?
Very, very possible Thybulle and Korkmaz and whatever they can get for that $6 million would be better than Tucker and, you know, two guys who make $1.8 million.
Yeah, exactly. So that's the kind of calculus Daryl Morey is working with right now. And you would also have to find a buyer for Thybulle and Korkmaz without trading away anything back onto the Sixers cap sheet. So
you're getting nothing back. So you'd have to call like Oklahoma, who has cap space for another 3 days or something crazy.
Yeah. So not a lot of teams in the league that have $10 million in cap space to just take on players without giving any in matching in return. So pretty limited options on that front. So
considering what the Knicks did to get rid of Kemba Walker, it's tough to unload salary.
Yeah. We don't have any 11th overall pick sitting around. So Yeah, so it's not that it's impossible that PJ Tucker will eventually be a Sixer, but it looks very, very unlikely, at least in relation to where it did a day ago. The other one we discussed as being out there was the Eric Gordon thing. Very similar situation where they needed the salary matching. Yeah, it could still happen, but it probably would require a Tobias Harris trade or a Harden different salary structuring than what we're expecting. And I don't even know how you would get, would the matching work with if it was Korkmaz, Thibault, like Niang? I'm not even sure how it would work. I think it would have to require a Tobias trade where you got a smaller salary in return that you could then trade for Gordon. I just think it's very difficult to imagine a mechanism where Gordon's a Sixer.
Pulling up the Daily Six, Derek Bodner says, with regards to Gordon, the Sixers would have to come up with $15.6 million in outgoing. So he says, even with Korkmaz, Niang, and Thibault, you're still $3 million short. So now you're also thinking like Joe and Shake or something like that.
Yeah, so like a third of your roster.
Yeah,
and Houston would have to be willing to not include anybody else, which, I mean, they have a lot of young guys on their roster that why would they jettison 2 to 3 players just to facilitate this trade?
Yeah, they unless, have to cut players they want.
Yeah, exactly. So unless you were really making it worth their while as far as like draft compensation or something, like why would they do that? It just wouldn't make sense. So yeah, I don't see a clear path for Eric Gordon to come to Philadelphia, which I think it's fine. I was never on the gung-ho for Gordon bandwagon. And especially now that they have Melton, who, you know, has good wingspan and can potentially play in 3-guard lineups with Maxey, Harden, and himself, that can be a 3-guard lineup as a change-up lineup at times, I would say. But he's still like firmly a guard. So if you're bringing, like, how would you bring Gordon into the mix? And you'd be really small and your wing depth would be cut even further, losing Matisse in that deal. So yeah, I just don't see Eric Gordon coming to Philadelphia, despite the fact that Pompey is reporting that they're still trying on that front. It just doesn't seem very likely.
If they could, the height aside, I do think what Gordon brings that Melton probably doesn't is a guy who's comfortable shooting like 10 threes in 36 minutes and you're okay with most of like almost every one of them. So they could still use someone who, you know, Gordon, when he spots up, he's spotting up sometimes 4 feet behind the 3-point line. James Harden and Joel Embiid, when they're running that pick and roll, the biggest problem they had as the year ended was that teams completely ignored their spot up shooters. And you might be able to get away with doing that. The Warriors did that to DeAnthony Melton. They would do that to PJ Tucker, and they would live with, you know, getting a hand up and one of those guys taking a shot. But with Gordon, you might just not leave him. So that's why I guess Daryl would look at a guy like him, but he's not the only one out there who can shoot.
No. And again, 33 years old, wasn't playing high intensity games in Houston the last couple years. And the last year he played 57 games. The 2 years prior to that, he played 36 and 27. So he's been dealing with injuries. There's been like load management. So even though, yeah, it looks good that he shot 41% last year, is that just like a one-off bounce back year outlier and on his way down the career curve? And I don't think that would be something they should reasonably expect going forward. Just a lot of question marks and potential red flags with a Gordon acquisition where, yeah, he would definitely be helpful in a lot of areas, spacing the floor and as a spot up guy that people couldn't ignore. And in his prime was a decent guard defender, like definitely honed his teeth in the playoffs. Like he was a guy you felt very comfortable out there as a playoff rotation guy. But yeah, just at this stage of his career, I didn't feel good about everything they would have to do to get him as far as the cap mechanisms went. and then okay, that's, we're kind of locked in, and Gordon's the last member of the rotation we can feasibly bring in. That wasn't a comfortable position for me. So yeah, I'm kind of glad they went in a different direction. I like getting a 24-year-old like Melton on an $8 million a year deal for the next couple of years versus a 33-year-old and a $20 million a year deal. Good outcome in my mind.
Yeah.
All right. So we should quickly mention, aside from the Melton trade, the Sixers didn't have any second round picks. They didn't decide to buy any or trade in back into the second round. Josh Harris flew off in his helicopter around the end of the first round.
I was disappointed to hear that, because I was hoping they would buy. Last year they bought like the 50th pick for, was it Bassey?
Yeah, that was the Bassey
selection.
I was
hoping they could do that and get a guy like Kendall Brown who was sliding to the late 40s, but didn't happen.
Yeah, we're like EJ Little. Is it Liddell?
I've been saying Liddell.
Yeah, Liddell.
Like Iceman Chuck.
Yeah. So he went at 41. So it's like, oh, could you have gotten in there at 39 or 40? And got him too, a guy that a lot of people were circling at 23 for the Sixers.
I think that comes out of your MLA, and that's why people were saying they probably didn't.
Yeah. So there are certainly other factors at play, but that was something I was wondering in the back of my mind. But nevertheless, they didn't make a second round selection, didn't get back into the second round, but they did make a handful of moves at the end of the night. They signed Julian Champagny to a two-way deal. So Charlie Brown Jr. is one of their two-way deals. Champagny is now another one. He was a wing at St. John's the last 3 years. He's about to turn 21, averaged about 19 points a game the last 2 years for the Red Storm. Doesn't seem like he was really a slider. It seems like he was kind of like a end of the second round guy that didn't hear his name called. So, but he's going to be in a two-way deal. So they definitely need, whether it's him or Charlie Brown Jr., you would like one of these wings to kind of emerge as a 10th, 11th man, because they really need some wing help. So I don't mind taking a shot there. They also signed Michael Foster Jr. and Aminu Muhammad to what are pretty much training camp deals. It seems like they'll just be participating with the summer league team, probably be in camp, but I don't expect them to make the roster. But any thoughts on the Champagny move or any of these middle of the night transactions, Dave?
Yeah, I saw, was it you who did the write-up on Champagny? And yeah, he looks like he could really shoot. Brian Toporek of Forbes had a funny, he Toporek'd the Sixers by basically saying they have no two-way wings, but now they have a wing who's a two-way player, which I thought was funny.
Yeah, they have no two-way wings, but they have two wings on two ways.
Yeah. I like it. And everything I've seen looking at some of these guys, Aminu, Foster and Champagny, I think there's intrigue there for sure on all three.
Yeah, I was able to do the 1 a.m. write up on Champagny because my son decided to wake up at 11 o'clock and cry for 3 hours, so I was up.
There might be a few days before they move on where we can make some Champagny pop the cork jokes.
Yeah, that was my immediate I put that in the
I see that
the subheader there. That was
excellent job by you.
Yeah, it was just too easy. I couldn't avoid it, even if it was a bit
102 a.m.
Yeah,
your son crying, you got that.
Yeah, I'm not digging deep for nuanced humor at that time of the night. All right, so that'll kind of wrap up our draft portion of this for the Sixers.
Support for this show comes from Sylvan Learning. As a parent, you want your child to have every opportunity. But giving them the tools they need to tackle every challenge, that takes a team. Now more than ever, educational support tailored exactly to what your child needs can make all the difference. That's why parents have trusted Sylvan Learning for 45 years as the ultimate teammate in their child's educational journey, instilling in them a love for learning and a passion for reaching the next level. And Sylvan's Insight Assessment can identify gaps in learning and areas that could be of concern for your child. It's a 360-degree view into your child's learning that you can't find anywhere else, and helps ensure that your child didn't miss something in school that might put them at a disadvantage in the future. And right now, it hits the best price of the year at $29. Go to sylvan29.com to learn more and get your child's assessment for only $29. That's sylvan29.com.
One other thing we wanted to touch upon was the noise out of Brooklyn, which we've obviously, you cover Brooklyn as well. So we talk about that a fair amount. And obviously with the Harden-Simmons trade and a lot of connections between the two franchises now. But now an additional one, as the Sixers were brought up on Kyrie Irving's trade list, if he was not to receive the kind of long-term deal he's looking for from Brooklyn. So that list included the Lakers, the Clippers, the Knicks, the Heat, the Mavericks, and the Sixers. Dave, how realistic is Kyrie Irving leaving Brooklyn? And is this something Sixers fans should keep an eye on?
Oh, absolutely. I mean, it reminds me of when Kawhi Leonard was wondering if he was going to stay in Toronto, join LeBron and Anthony Davis in LA, or go to the Clippers and start something on his own. And I was really nervous because I don't want any super teams in the NBA when I'm rooting for the Sixers. So if Kyrie does something wild, if he becomes willful and unpredictable and angry at Joe Tsai for not just probably doing what he should do and give him a 4 or 5 year max to keep Kevin Durant happy and keep them as contenders. If he goes and takes like a $6 million MLE to play on a contender, that's going to be terrible because he, you know, when he's out there, he's like a top 20 player minimum. So it is a very scary situation, even though I also enjoy seeing very bad things happen to a division rival like the Nets. I can't really feel comfortable until I see how this is resolved. Just the offshore chance that he goes to like the Clippers. And also the Sixers should explore acquiring him because maybe they could get him on their MLE.
What, I mean, I guess we shouldn't discount Kyrie doing anything because he's shown he's a mercurial dude who will march to the beat of his own drum, and it might not always be pure logic that's driving him, but what kind of money would he be giving up if he chooses to sign an MLE? Do you have a broad estimate?
I believe if he got a 5 year max, he could get up close to 250, 270 or something, right? And if he takes a year one deal there, if he were to opt in, is probably in mid 30s. So if he were to go take $6 million, yeah, he'd be foregoing like $30 million cash. Not to mention he'd have to move. Who knows where he'd end up. But maybe the cost of living is more expensive with all that transit. And who knows what his deal would look like next year. So he already lost like a $200 million contract because he didn't want to get vaccinated in one of the few cities where you need to be to play. I wouldn't put anything past this player. So the idea that this could never happen doesn't make me feel comfortable if I'm Daryl Morey. I want to explore the things that almost certainly won't happen just in case.
Yeah. So I think most people would say passing up one close to $30 million would be a non-starter, but yeah, it's Kyrie Irving. So we don't know. It could very much be in the offing. Yeah. If the Sixers have a path, I think you kind of worry about the fit stuff. I think Kyrie and Harden together again after that relationship seemed to have soured. I don't know how interesting that would be. Maxey and Kyrie and Harden all together, that's a super small roster. So yeah, I don't know how realistic any of it is, but it's fun to talk about and speculate on. And we also hear that Kevin Durant's keeping a close eye on the situation. And if Kyrie were to bolt and he was left all alone in Brooklyn, would he look to move? And there's those reports where Bobby Marks is saying it would be the biggest trade package in the history of the league if the Nets decided to move on from Durant, and they could suddenly be looking at Ben Simmons as their remaining quote unquote headliner on the roster, which from where they were a year ago, that would just be just about the most hilarious thing in the history of the league.
Kevin Durant demands a trade to Philly. Now you're wondering, okay, do we offer Tobias or James Harden? Like, I think they could sell James on the idea. I think James was very much into the idea of a big three in Brooklyn, and he was absolutely disgusted that he's out there playing on bad hamstrings when Kyrie's not playing at all. So Kyrie has used the scorn X joke about Boston fans booing him. I think you could say, like, look, here's your ex. You didn't want to date her because she was never around, but now she's here every game. Oh, and also we'll give you an extra $20 million to put up with it in your contract negotiations. I think James could get on board with something like that.
Yeah, I'm sure he could be brought around. Hey, it's the big three, but now you have the back-to-back runner-up MVP also.
Big four with Maxey.
So, I mean, this is all never going to happen, obviously, but what would you have to give up Maxey to get Durant? I would feel like you'd have to. Yeah.
To get the money right, you'd have to do Tobias to start.
Yeah, like but they would demand Maxey, I would say.
Absolutely demand Maxey.
Yeah.
The only way you're not getting Maxey is if they really wanted Harden back for some reason.
Harden going back and being the lone guy, like, that wouldn't work since he just kind of demanded a trade for that reason.
Yeah, so I think it'd be like Tobias, Maxey, and then all your young guys.
Yeah, so you'd be looking at Brooklyn's big three from last year plus Joel.
Yeah.
Never going to happen, but kind of fun to chop it up and speculate on.
Let's
so,
just feel nervous that Miami doesn't get one of these guys, basically.
Yeah, that's the thing. You know, like, if it's an LA team, at least they're in the West, and right. That doesn't really directly impact the Sixers. But yeah, if it was like Miami, that would be a big blow, because now you're looking at another Eastern Conference contender that would be significantly improved as a result for, you know, if it's a Kyrie that's demanding out at all costs, you would imagine Miami wouldn't have to give up too much to get it done.
And also imagine you had this miracle run and made it to the finals and then had to face this unbeatable super team because Kyrie's on an MLE with Kai and Paul George and Robert Covington. That would be awful.
Yeah, wouldn't look forward to that. the Sixers have enough going against them in terms of, you know, age curves and roster fits and everything else. They don't need
Google not being South Beach.
Yes, they don't need super teams on the opposing sideline either. So, all right, Dave. Well, this was fun. I don't expect anything to come of Brooklyn noise, but fun to talk about. But I was very pleased with the draft. I like D'Anthony Melton a lot. I think he's going to be at a minimum, he's a guy you can throw in the rotation in the playoffs and feel good about. And the Sixers only had X number of those guys last year, which was a big problem. So they, at a minimum, they added one more of those. I think there's some upside with him given his age and career trajectory. And he's just super athletic and bouncy and fast and fun. And I think Sixers fans are really going to enjoy watching him. So I felt like it was a good night.
Yeah, Daryl Morey mentioned when they got George Hill, the dream was we want to field five guys for a closing lineup that can all play both ends of the floor and all have playoff experience. Maybe now he's got what he hoped George would have provided a year ago.
Yeah, right. So right now you're closing five. You'd be looking at, you'd have Melton in there as like a three with Harden, Maxey, Tobias, and Joel. And you kind of hope either Melton's long enough or Harden with his low center of gravity, great post defense ability, like one of them can guard a bigger player and you kind of go from there. And a lot of teams play small nowadays anyway. So as long as you have Joel there to protect a rim, like that's workable. So that would be an intriguing closing five. I'd be interested in seeing that. But I have the feeling Daryl's not done. We'll see. They at a minimum they'll have the taxpayer MLE. So who can you bring in for that $6 million slot? I have a feeling it would have to be a wing. He's not done. We'll see what comes in free agency and everything else. But yeah, I think it was a good step forward for the team.
I like it. Hashtag Daryl's not done.
More for Morey. All right, Dave. Well, thank you for joining me and I'll talk to you again soon. Give your info and everything.
Oh, at David Early on Twitter. You can shoot me a DMs are open. Ask me a question about the Sixers, and we'll try to talk about it on one of these upcoming pods.
Yeah, definitely do that for everyone out there. Dave's Dave's very online and willing to engage. He's always happy to talk hoops with people. So yeah, if you want to do that, that's where you can find him. I'm at Philly Fast Break on Twitter. I'm very much not online, so don't expect the same level of engagement, but
it's fine.
Yeah, I got other stuff going on. All right, Dave, I will talk to you soon. Yeah, good night for the Sixers. Everyone else out there, talk to you next week.